Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
3.1 seconds. Julius Randle to inbound. They got to get it in. Edwards has it. This for the tie. No good. Celtics win.
Hour 2, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We already talked to Dietrich Wise. Jelani Tavai making headlines this morning.
Sure did.
On the Greg Hill Show. Reacting to that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll also get to our four-pack of questions for Patriots and Bills coming up. Celtics were in action last night, as were the Bruins. I do want to work our way through that. But some of you waiting patiently here on the phones. What we've talked about are those Tavai comments. We interviewed Dietrich Wise.
Yep.
I think Mike Reese put the hit out on Jerod Mayo today, officially.
It's a lot going on.
I think Alex Van Pelt said goodbye to the media yesterday.
Pretty much.
And so there's a lot going on with the Patriots. We'll take all your thoughts on it, starting with Pete in Lexington. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, hi, you guys. I think you already nailed it. I called in. The ownership actually does something besides collect money. And these guys, they're good people, but they're old. They're out of touch. They haven't had to be real active owners for three decades. And, you know, they did Mayo a disservice by hiring him. You know, Kraft keeps saying he measures nine times, cuts once. He didn't measure. He just cut. 5 years ago, he named his coach. So that's what I got to say. It's sad, but it happens to us all. New ownership.
Yeah. If they fire Mayo.
I don't know if you're getting that, but I mean,
you're not getting new ownership.
Not getting that.
You might get a new guy calling the shots. Like, Robert may fade into the background. You might get Jonathan.
Although there's a lot of different, discussion around that about how much he's already doing anyway.
I think,
you know, like, maybe some of these moves, like, I don't know. Do you think Bill Belichick not being the coach here had more to do with Jonathan or Robert? I mean, maybe both. I mean, we all watched the Dynasty, so maybe very much both.
I still think it's Robert, but, you know, does Jonathan have bigger influence on his dad these days?
Maybe.
Is he more willing to listen these days? I think something like that is possible. I think his role has grown, as has Robin Glazer's within the organization. And so that's not a different ownership group per se, but it would be a different person who might handle it differently in Jonathan Kraft. So I'd allow for that. But on the Krafts, if they want to win back their fan base, you fire this coach. You blow the whole thing up.
That's a start. Like, you're going to need to win games,
yeah,
right?
No,
but like, that does. That's,
that is
that's a good offseason.
That is the first step to winning the fan base back.
So,
because I kind of think the Krafts are as lost as John Henry is. And I don't think you're going to get it back. And the one thing I give John Henry that I can't give the Krafts, they've won different ways. They've won with different managers. They've won with different GMs.
Different
they won
players.
With different groups of players.
Yeah.
They won after David Ortiz.
No, Robert Kraft, there's pretty much a specific formula
there's
for their winning.
One or two, if you want to give it to Bill, common denominators.
Yeah,
it's Brady and Belichick, and you were just along for the ride. So you want to win them back? You have to prove you're not John Henry. You're not disinterested. Your head isn't in the sand. And you're going to take the bull by the horns, acknowledge a mistake, and change things. If Mayo's back, he might as well be John Henry. He's not even John Henry if that's what he does.
Well, the line on his on the call screen said Crafts need to evolve. The call ended up being they need to move on, but like them evolving. So if there's three scenarios, let me present you. Which would you say is the most likely all the way to least likely?
Okay.
They retain Gerard Mayo. They fire Mayo but bring in somebody they have a relationship with, like Mike Vrabel. Or they fire Mayo and bring in somebody that has no ties to the Patriots.
Okay, so what I want would be the last one.
No. What do you think?
I'm saying what I want is the last one.
It's also the least likely.
I think it's the least likely. I think the way you ask them is the order. I still, because I don't trust them, I still think Mayo's back.
Yeah.
Even with the hit out from Mike Reese, I think he's back. And so I'd be okay with Vrabel replacing Mayo because Mayo shouldn't be back. I'd be okay with it. But what I actually want is they completely blow it up and go with Ben Johnson, or I've suggested Liam Cohen, something completely different. But I think that's by far the least likely. If they move on from Mayo, they'll just run right back to somebody who
they might not even interview anybody. He might just be Vrabel again.
That's true. They might. They still might not even do an interview process.
Legally, they might have to a process. Like they might have to interview candidates, right?
But it'd be a sham.
Yeah, for sure it would be. And it'd be the same idea, and they just bring in Mike Vrabel, but. Yeah, you know what? Even with all this going on, I'm with you. I do think Mayo comes back, and I think fans are going to be beside themselves.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But
imagine on Monday we're talking about Mayo's back, and they have the fourth pick. Like, they win the game on Sunday, and then you're like, see, they end the year on the high note. It's like, no, you beat Mitch Trubisky in a game that you needed to lose. You now have the fourth pick in the draft in 4 months, and you're telling us you're bringing back Mayo?
The whole thing has been a disaster.
It really has. John Heyman nailed it. How much weight do you put into Mike Reese, that column today, the subsequent tweet with like all the bullet points?
Yeah.
Patriots coach Gerard Mayo's roller coaster first season. He goes back and details them all. He starts in London calling the team soft.
Yeah.
And said people in the press room were like whispering to each other like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, we can't believe he just did
that. It's funny because it's just like a telling of the events. And some of this stuff, as a fan, maybe you'd forgotten about. There's just so many things that just kind of pile up. Like, there's... You know, that moment where he called the team soft, that's definitely one that stands out. But there are plenty to go through, let alone the record. I mean, the record sort of speaks for itself. I think just the fact that the defense sucks as bad as it does, that's alarming, right? You thought no offensive line, no wide receivers, you're not going to score a lot of points. Yeah, makes sense. But the defense to take like three steps backwards, that's a really bad look for Gerard Mayo. So, yeah, you add it all up. This is the kind of thing, you know, because people always preach like, well, it's a bad sign from a franchise to fire a coach after 1 year. Like, you got to show patience and, you know, Jelani Tavai's Rome wasn't built in a day thing. But then when you take a look at some of the coaches that were fired after year one, wasn't that the right call?
Yeah.
Like, should they have hung on to Urban Meyer for another year or Freddie Kitchens for another year?
Jim Tomsula farting in the middle of press conferences? Like,
I don't need another year of that.
No.
And Mayo's way closer to that, if not right in there with those guys, than he is somebody that had a bad first year and then a big jump up the next year.
By the way, here's what Reese put out on social media. He said, after detailing Mayo and Elliot Wolf, their first years, the Crafts were confident in them. He says, the Patriots are not buttoned up as a franchise at the moment.
No.
Clarity from the Crafts should be coming. That feels like a weighty line.
A statement? A written statement?
Strong leadership from them is needed now more than ever. You detailed the defense here, and then we can get into some of the Celtics and Bruins. Greg is in Rhode Island waiting patiently. Go ahead, Greg.
Guys, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You know, I hear a lot about Alex Van Pelt. I mean, you can choose whichever rat hole you want to go on with this season regarding these guys. But the defense, to me, just seems they're just in the way of whatever offense they're facing. There's not a lot of fumbles. And you can read, you know, the statistics. There's not a lot of interceptions, sacks, not even any schemes or anything to kind of coach up the guys that they have. I know they've had injuries. I get that. But they just don't seem to have any creativity, and there's no – the culture thing with Gerard Mayo, to kind of go off quick on another thing, is as far as him not building a culture, no matter who you have on that team, the culture is what you could build, no matter if you had, you know, whoever on the team. So that's just what I wanted to think, and I'll listen to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, it said on the call screen, Covington has to go. The defensive numbers – I mean, I know the defense has been bad. Reading through Reese today, I was surprised at how bad some of the rankings were, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, they haven't ranked this low in points per game allowed, which I think is probably the best metric, right? Especially when you have this many games to look at. The last time, I think, was 1990?
Nice.
They had a good year that year where they went 1-15. That's where they're at. And obviously 24 years, you know, you have Belichick, a handful of years you have Pete, and you have Parcells, all defensive guys. And so your defenses were always significantly better. And right now they're 26th in points per game.
Here are the ranks. He compares this year's defense to last year's defense, which I thought was overrated. I thought there were certain games where Bill coached it to keep it close, not to get blown out, not to get embarrassed, to keep his job.
Yeah.
Okay? And by the way, I am not pining for Bill to come back by any means.
No.
Reese says the unit ranks last in the NFL in quarterback contacts.
Contacts?
Yeah, touch them.
Yeah, well, Justin Herbert, did he get hit once?
I don't
last
believe
week?
So. Not a lot of quarterback contact in that game.
No.
Isn't that what got Ngakoue cut? He hit him late.
Oh, that's true.
No, you're
and
right.
Ross Tucker's like, oh, or no, Chris Rose. That counts as a pressure.
My bad. He did get hit. Yep.
The unit ranks last in the NFL in quarterback contacts, according to ESPN research. They slipped from 7th last year to 26th on third down conversions. The Patriots rank or have 12 takeaways this year. That's 30th in the NFL. Entering last year's finale, they had given up 349 points, 37 touchdowns. This year, it's 401 and 45 touchdowns. Red zone defense is currently 24th in touchdown percentage after they were 5th a year ago. So they dropped off significantly on defense. Mayo's a defensive coach. Yeah. I would lump him in with DeMarcus Covington, but I would say the bare minimum you do is say goodbye to DeMarcus Covington this offseason.
Yeah, and then the question becomes, you know, when you're looking at both coordinators, is the head coach, if the head coach is staying, do you really need to bring, and this is probably a better question for the offseason, but quickly, do you need to bring in a defensive coordinator who's going to run the old Patriots and like Mayo's defense? Or wouldn't you say Mayo's not really doing much anyway, so if you can find somebody that has whatever their defense is, bring that in.
That's what I would want, but like I'm sure they bring in another Patriots connect. Yeah, I'm sure they just do the same thing and just try to, you know, rearrange the deck chairs. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Patriots, Jelani Tavai's comments, Jerod Mayo's job security, Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington. We talked to Dietrich Wise earlier today. So a lot of stuff going on here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keith. However, Celtics and Bruins both in action last night.
That's right.
I give the Celtics a lot of credit for their win.
That's a nice win.
I expected Jaylen Brown to play in that game. He didn't. They beat Minnesota. Another entertaining game against the Timberwolves. All these games are great. They all go down to the wire. It was another one-possession game. Anthony Edwards, who we'll get to, misses a shot at the buzzer, which I thought the Celtics should have fouled there. I don't get why they let him take a three, but
they didn't
whatever.
Sit there anywhere near him. No. Also, didn't that feel like 5-second violation? It felt like the dude had the ball forever on the inbound.
And they were out of timeouts.
Right, and then it was like all of a sudden it got to Edwards, and the defense all of a sudden was like nowhere near him. I don't even think they could foul him. He got a wide-open look. I think he was surprised how open he was, and then he bricked it, and they win.
Long story short, I give the Celtics a lot of credit for that win last night, and I want to see if they can keep this going on the road trip. It's a 4-game road trip. They're on a back-to-back tonight in Houston. Then they get OKC on Sunday, I think it is, and Denver 2 days after that. Not an easy trip. They need to win at least 3 out of 4. I don't want to split on this trip. If you want to send a message that you're locked in and playing at a different level, take 3 out of 4 on this trip. I'll let you stub your toe somewhere. And maybe it's the back-to-back tonight against Houston.
Because they're all good teams. Yeah.
But you got to win 3 out of 4 on this trip. They started it off great. Tatum locked up Anthony Edwards last night. He was great offensively as well. It was a great, great Tatum game. I give him a lot of credit for that win last night. That's a good win.
Is that a potential rivalry between those two? I mean, they're two...
Tatum and Edwards?
They're probably the two best American players right now. I mean, depending on how you feel about the old heads.
Right.
They're probably the two best USA guys. And it seems like Tatum has dominated those matchups. You know, we talk about a lot of close games, but usually the Celtics are on top, and Tatum has these big performances. So not only was he scoring, but 8 rebounds, 9 assists in the game, only a couple of turnovers. And this was the game where the Timberwolves shot really well. The Timberwolves shot over 50% from three.
Oh, they lit it up. I think they were
lighting it up.
They might have hit the most threes they've hit all year.
It was also a weird kind of one-possession game because, like, late in the fourth quarter, you're like, oh, the Celtics should just kind of walk away with this one. And then they didn't. Timberwolves made it close. The next thing you know, they have a shot at the buzzer to try to force overtime. So, yeah, they were just wondering how they're going to go. And I was watching, I think it was on TNT when I was watching it last night. And at the end, they were like, what is this, their first back-to-back wins in, like, weeks? Like, they hadn't won back-to-back games in a while.
I'll fact-check that.
Double-check me on that.
That does sound right, because they had dropped, 4 out of 6 coming into the
Toronto
game. Which
is such a weird stat for a team.
They had not won 2 since they won 3 in a row December 2nd through the 6th. I'm sorry, that's not true. December 12th through the 15th.
Okay,
they won back-to-back
Detroit,
Washington.
So just 2 weeks or whatever. But still, for a team like this, it is a little bit surprising. And I had circled this little mini road trip even going back a few weeks ago just because of these marquee games. We kind of highlight the complacency that the Celtics play with at times, and you're like, I don't know if you can be on this stretch. There's a reason to be motivated for each one of these games. And whether it's, you know, just seeing Anthony Edwards on the other side, or Ime Udoka, or Jokic, or the Thunder, who everybody want to anoint as like the as the next team, you have all these games on this stretch. So, yeah, I thought it was solid. Plus, you know, two of your, what, three or four best players aren't playing, so you add all that together.
Yeah, I mean,
look. And my guy Keita finally had a good game. How about Nemus?
He did. He dunked on Gobert last night.
Gobert got taken to school a few times.
Tatum? That one time, he shook him was not
bad. What did you think of the, as an aesthetic, the court and like the paint?
I like the court and the Timberwolves uniforms.
I couldn't tell if I liked it or hated it because it was like a really weird, like not even their colors.
I liked it.
It was almost like, is this the NBA Cup? It was like a weird setup.
It was NBA
Cup. Like, what is this?
That's true. Maybe that's why I liked it. It looked like the NBA Cup.
You know what? I don't think I like those T-Wolves uniforms.
Hmm.
Give me the old ones.
All right. Well, you marinate on that for a little
bit. I'll sit on it.
Do you think Tatum was double-teamed at all last night? Was he ever double-teamed? Does he ever get double-teamed?
I think Tatum does get double-teamed quite a bit, actually.
Tatum
yes.
gets double-teamed a substantial amount. He had 9 assists, as you said last night.
He'll pass out of a double-team.
Anthony Edwards is struggling with the double-teams.
Sure.
Tatum asked, by the way, for the matchup on Edwards last night.
Like
he
that.
Confirmed it after the game. Mazzulla confirmed that after the game. He went to Mazzulla and said, no, Jalen, I want Anthony Edwards.
Like it.
But he had help. They were jumping in with double-teams. Edwards is, let's just say, trying to figure out the double teams that are getting thrown at him this year without Karl Anthony Towns.
That was a good brand of basketball, but it's not how I want to play, of course. I mean, I'm only 23. I don't want to just be passing the ball all night. You feel me?
Like, you don't be my colleague.
Yeah, at all. But the way that they guarded me, I think I have to. So
I was going to say, how hard is it to just stay engaged?
Super hard. I mean, because I'm wired to score the ball.
Do you think that's what teams are trying to do to you, like mentally try to take you out of the game?
I don't know. I don't.
You like that?
I mean, that might be a part of it, but I know they're just doing it. Yeah. I don't know if, like, their plan is, like, let's mentally take them out. Because it don't, like, take me all the way out of the game, but it definitely frustrates me a little bit. But them doubling me definitely is like, bro, what is going on? So, yeah, I be trying to figure it out, man.
We're trying to figure out, bro, what is going on?
And I love Anthony Edwards.
Me too.
I think he's a character. However, he's really lucky he's in, like, Minnesota.
I mean, did you hear the reporters were, like, helping him? They're like,
it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that so tough?
Imagine having two guys guard you at times.
Right.
When you're the best player on the floor, or certainly the best player on your team. Tatum was the best player on the floor. But you're this great player, and he's like, I don't want to just be passing the ball all the time. It's a great line, but you can only imagine if he was in a place that cared way more about it, was way more passionate about it. I wonder how that would go.
Well, and here's the thing about him. The media loves Anthony Edwards because of some of these, like, brash answers.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of a stupid
that's
one.
That's a loser. You want to talk about a loser comment? That's a loser comment.
Well, remember the knock on him coming out of college? And I remember being like, you know, pat on the back to me, being like, I'd still take him number one overall. But people were like, oh, he doesn't love basketball. Like, that was like a big knock on him. It's like, oh, he says he doesn't, like, watch basketball 24/7. I'm like, he's still awesome at it. But there's some things.
I was a LaMelo guy in that draft.
He's good.
He's good, but he's not as good as Edwards.
Well, not as good as Edwards.
But so I've said this about Edwards before. I think he's made the Tatum leap. Because I've seen some of that passing out of double teams from him in the past, without Towns, that seems to be a different issue for him.
I still don't get that trade. That was a dumbass trade. They played better last year than I thought. And you're like, all right, you're not there yet, but
I didn't
blow
like
it up. And I don't even really like Randall.
I didn't like the trade for either team, but I hated it more for New York. Shows what I know. Because they're playing really well right now. Minnesota looks like they really miss Towns, and he's going to figure that out. Tatum had to figure that out in his career.
I don't think Randall matches up well with Edwards.
Me either.
You know?
Two ball dominant. And so Edwards has to figure that out. If he doesn't figure it out, he'll never make the leap.
Yeah.
If he does figure it out, then he'll be Tatum, and he'll deserve to be one of those top 5, top 10 players in the league. And, you know, he'll probably go on some deep runs and maybe win a championship. You can't be flummoxed by a double team and go, what's going on out here?
Like, haven't you been double teamed your whole career?
I mean, I would
You've probably been the best player everywhere you've gone, high school, college, and then even, you know, with the T-Wolves, and yet he still doesn't know what he's doing. There was a play for Randall last night, and he actually had a good game. We were talking yesterday about how he hasn't been great. He's been worse than he was with the Knicks. He had a really good game, but there was one possession where he got the ball. It was just like dribble, 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 and then like fall away, like 16-footer that he missed.
Classic Julius Randle.
Joe Mazzulla must have been like, that is the worst shot I've ever seen in my life. First of all, it's not a three, so I hate it.
Yeah.
And then it's just you dribbling around until like the end of the shot clock and then like heaving like this fall away that he missed. But no, overall he was good, but you know, better start for the Celtics.
Good point by the text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, didn't you say yesterday Anthony Edwards doesn't do overtime? Why would he make that shot?
Oh, good point.
Good point.
He's not doing it.
I don't do overtime.
That's a good point.
So he missed it on purpose.
I thought he was going to have a monster game. I was wrong. So credit the Celtics defense for that.
Credit Tatum.
Yeah, and Tatum specifically.
And by the way, Mazzulla, if you're going to throw the guy can't handle double teams, throw double teams at him.
Shouldn't every team in the league only do that now?
Yes. Yes. After he
Who's going to kill you?
He cries about it, says he doesn't know what to do?
The corpse of Mike Conley? Like, I don't think he's going to kill you. I think you're going to be all right.
Good win for the Celtics. I was impressed with the Celtics last night. We can get to the Bruins maybe at another point. Less impressed with them. I love McAvoy and Zadorov clunking into each other last night.
Yep.
Swayman.
A couple of hosses.
Only gave up two goals. I didn't think either one was great last night.
No.
This team can't score.
No.
And so, and by the way, that was a trash Rangers team on the other side, and you lost to them. So, not a good showing by the Bruins. We can get back to them with all your Celtics thoughts. 617-779-7937. And more on the Patriots, of course, as well, here on a Patriots Friday. We'll get to our four-pack of questions, Patriots and Bills. Patriots Friday here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keith. We'll get to our Friday four-pack Patriots and Bills coming up. I've been alerted to a Jawan Bentley tweet.
A Jawan Bentley tweet?
He's on nice. IR.
Oh. But it doesn't mean he can't tweet.
So was he was the Patriots Friday guest on the Greg Hill show, and then he got hurt, and then they started getting Tavai. Is that right? Is that how that went down?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Interesting. So what did Jawan Bentley tweet? I'm trying to find it. I don't follow
Mike Girardi retweeted it, so that's how I saw it.
Good.
But it's Jawan Bentley, I'm scared of the media, LOL. Y'all got it. Happy New Year.
Y'all got it.
I don't really understand it. Oh, he did do a champagne cheersing emoji for the Happy New Year.
He did. It's
January 3rd. You can still say Happy New Year. Not to revisit that. I think it's an old Curb Your Enthusiasm bit, but.
Yeah, what did he give you? Did he
fifth
give
or
you?
Sixth, you can probably say it.
Is that what he said?
Happy New Year at the end.
No. I know that's what Jawan Bentley said.
Oh, I forget what
What was Larry David's line in the same?
Probably
I don't
like
recall
you're
anymore.
Done.
Yeah, it was probably like a day.
You're done.
Yeah, I think he's already outside the realm of that, but okay.
Why is he saying he's, I mean, I know he's joking, but why is he even suggesting that he's scared of the media? What's the, I don't really understand it.
It's got to be the blowback on Tavai, right?
Yeah, but that's the fans. It's fans versus Tavai. It's got nothing really to do with
Tavai,
the media.
But Tavai, it happened in an interview with the media.
I don't know.
Fans are lashing back. I think Greg and Courtney and Wiggy and Curtis, they all gave him a chance to walk it back.
Seriously?
They gave him a lot of chances to walk it back, and he doubled and tripled down on his comments. So I don't think it happened in a radio interview and whatever.
But this
players
would be,
probably lose track of the details, but I think that's what he's referencing.
So this would actually be a smart play.
Is he referencing it with us? I don't think he's referencing our interview.
I don't think so. This would be a smart move, though, by them. Because players versus fans are going to win every time.
Yeah.
Players versus media, players win.
Every time.
Fans will be like, hell yeah. And then they'll turn on whoever it is, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Change this back on us.
Be like, I know we called out the fans and we told you were spoiled and we told you can't boo and you got to be like,
but
ride
the
or die.
Mean.
How about the media? They were the ones that were there.
Yeah.
They were the ones with the microphone.
They're the ones who wanted Bill gone.
That's right.
Yeah, do that.
Then they can be together. And
that's
be
a
excited.
Good move.
Yeah.
The media wanted
Smart.
Bill gone.
Keep it up.
That's how you do it.
There you go.
I'm scared of the media, LOL. Y'all got it.
He's got it all figured out.
Happy New Year. Okay.
Happy New Year to you as
well. What did we get? Like our pound of flesh with Tavai? Is that what he's saying?
Honestly, I don't really understand it.
I don't quite follow either.
No.
But I think the way that Nick described it was right. That's a cryptic tweet from Jelani Tavai.
At least it wasn't just a cry face emoji like our guy Christian Gonzalez.
That's true. Jonathan is in Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. Unironically, is there a more unlikable team in town than the Patriots right now from top to bottom? Because that's what they've devolved into.
Well, don't sleep on the Red Sox.
I was
going to
say, more unlikable, Patriots or Red Sox, Keith?
As of this moment,
Patriots.
Because of the Garrett Crochet trade, I would say the Patriots are more unlikable.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Jonathan, also, no, there's no one more unlikable.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that at least John Henry doesn't pee on your head and tell you it's rain, like unlike this ownership group. But with the crash, if they go by their emotion and keep Mayo and keep, you know, the regime in charge, Patriots fans won't be able to, you know, make fun of Brick Johnson and Jim Irsay and the Haslams of the world anymore, because we'll be there. We'll be there.
Yeah, this is my feeling. For anybody who is putting their belief in the Crafts to move on from Mayo, you just believe in the Crafts more than me. And if they fire him, I will applaud the move. And I think Jonathan said it right. It's emotionless to fire him. It would be emotional to keep him. I think a lot of times you fire someone out of emotion.
Right.
You overreact out of emotion.
No.
This would be looking at it rationally. This would be unemotional. Keeping Mayo would be the emotional move. They need to get past that.
Yeah.
I don't trust them to do that.
They have so much to do to be better next year, and that's one thing that you can kind of control. Right? Like, you're going to have to hit on some draft picks. You're going to have to hit in free agency. The free agency part, a little bit more controllable. The draft pick thing, like, you know, we'll wait and see. But the roster is going to need a bit of an overhaul. But if you're the owner of the team, you can look at it and say, are we going in the right direction? And is this the guy that's going to pull us out of that? I don't know what would...
No and no.
I was going to say, I don't know how you could possibly think that the answer is yes to that. So can you suck it up and realize that you made a mistake? Because this is different than, what would you say, 90% of coach hires? How many owners in the league had the relationship with their current head coach that Kraft and Mayo had?
Oh, very few.
99%? Like, maybe, I don't know. I'd have to go through them all, but...
I'll give you one. Irsay, when he brought in Jeff Saturday as a replacement.
Right.
Like, that's...
For a weekend.
It's that level of...
And then they said, see you later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, those guys, it's probably a little bit easier. Like, it's not... If you fire your coach, you're not like, oh, my God, like, what an error I made. You're like, screw that up. Let's get the next guy. Well, that's what most owners would do. This one, he's talked himself, like, the Thunder buddies. Like, these guys are linked.
And if you want to win back your fan base, this would be a big move to do that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not the reason to make a decision, but it would help. Because I don't think he's very popular, meaning Robert, with the fan base right now. Let's get to our four-pack of questions for Patriots and Bills.
Let's
on
go,
Sunday,
Billy!
Week 18. What do we got, Billy?
First question, are you rooting for the Bills to win the AFC?
I think so.
I'm a yes.
Because it's not the Chiefs.
No.
It's never the Steelers. I kind of like Lamar.
Don't you want a Bills-Lions Super Bowl? Like,
yes.
Absolutely, that's what I want.
Yeah, I do.
Unquestionably, that's what I want.
So I'm a little...
And I'm not going to root for the Chiefs. I like Lamar, too, but I'm going to root for Josh Allen and the Bills over them.
Yeah, they seem kind of harmless, the Bills.
Yeah.
You know, they've never won a damn thing.
Cute, cuddly little friend.
I have some buddies that are Bills fans, and he's like, yeah, way to go.
I like my Bills.
All buddies. Through college, we had a bet, not even against the spread, just a straight up bet, Bills versus Pats. I think I won like 12 straight, and we would bet like subs and beer or whatever it was. And I won like 12 straight. I felt bad by the end. And then finally, we get out of college, and now the roles are reversed, but we don't do the bet anymore.
Yeah. I would
we probably
say,
should. I probably owe him several subs.
I would say I would root for the Chiefs just to get to the Super Bowl and then blow it.
Well, it's a great story. And then
you do not want the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
No, I think I am rooting for the Bills. Plus, Josh Allen's as likable a player as there is in sports.
I think Josh Allen is our next question.
Yep.
Oh.
Yes, it is. Is
who
Josh
the hell showed you the questions?
Right?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
I had a feeling.
He was hovering over my shoulder.
I had a feeling.
Get out of there.
Yeah, we wrote it down like Dietrich Wise.
Is Josh Allen the MVP?
Yes.
I think Lamar.
So Nick also thinks Lamar. You guys think Lamar's going to win?
Dude,
why?
Lamar's insane because Lamar's team, they're both playoff bound. Neither one's the number one seed. Lamar can win the division this Saturday, so they can both be division winners. Mm-hmm. Would it blow your hair back for me to tell you that Lamar has more passing touchdowns than Josh Allen? And fewer interceptions.
No.
Plus his run game.
I understand
and
he
his
has
QB ratings through the roof.
I understand he has better stats.
It is more yards.
Would it blow your hair back to know that Josh Allen had better stats last year than Lamar Jackson and he didn't win the MVP?
Who won the MVP last year?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson should win it than this year.
Okay, but I'm telling you, just because you have better stats doesn't mean you win the MVP. If that were the case, Josh Allen would have been MVP last year. Allen's due. He's going to win it. I think he
deserves
it.
So that's more of a career achievement award is what you're doing.
Well, but he got boned out of one last year, so you're going to bone Lamar out of another one this year.
They're not going to bone anybody out of anything.
It's still going to be 2-1.
Give Lamar the MVP.
It's still going to be 2-1 at the end of the day. Allen should have won it last year. Lamar didn't deserve it. Maybe Lamar deserves it more this year.
Lamar
I still think
does.
That's a debate, by the way. I would go Josh Allen. He is going to win it, and I think he should win it.
I just think the people... As a little aside, the people that say Lamar Jackson can't throw.
Oh, they're
are we
so
done
wrong.
With that?
Yeah, I would hope.
We're dead. That needs to be over with, right?
I would really hope.
All right,
yeah, Lamar can't throw. I would say he's very accurate. Just on like pure.
He's going to have 40 touchdown passes over 4,000 yards and like a QB rating of like 120
okay,
something.
But I'm saying on traditional metrics,
oh,
all
yeah,
his
yeah,
traditional
yeah, yeah,
metrics
yeah.
for passing are
just
good.
Watch them.
The advanced ones are really good too.
Oh, right.
Well, yeah, and the eye test. But the advanced metrics on Lamar are really good. Completion percentage over expected, all that stuff. Completion percentage from a clean pocket, which you would expect him to be an outside the right. pocket guy. All of those have been good with Lamar for years.
Okay. Well,
what's our next? I don't know what our next question is, Billy.
This will be news.
I am unaware. What could it be?
Would you rather go to 4 straight Super Bowls and lose them all? Or in 4 years, win one Super Bowl and finish last those other 3 years?
It's a great question.
The Red Sox approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think
10 years removed from it, the answer is the one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're living it, and now we're about to see the Patriots finish dead last in back-to-back years, it's rough.
I don't know.
I think I might take 4 years where you win 50-plus regular season games and you are in the Super Bowl every year. I think
and
that's
losing
better.
It and getting kicked in the nuts every single year?
Nut kick. But
no,
you are in it. You are in it
that.
The whole time, all the way until February. And you're not rooting for draft picks and doing all that stuff.
Okay.
I think when you're in the moment, it has to be that thing.
Before the Celtics won this past season, before the Celtics won, they were in it. They were winning a bunch of regular season games, Eastern Conference final, NBA finals appearance. I didn't love that.
Do you remember when they were finishing last?
Remember
those years? How bad was that?
I do, but do you remember
like
the championship?
Do you remember 07?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all remember 08, but do you remember 07?
Okay, but in a four-year span,
do I want
one title or zero titles? I want one title. I don't care about the
dead last finishes.
I don't care about the last place.
So that's
finishes.
How I
if
always I,
if there's a championship in there.
That's how I always would have answered it. But after living the Red Sox recently and the Patriots these 2 years, I think I would take the 4 years where you're. I think as a Boston fan, we've sort of changed our tune because all four teams have won in the last 20 years. But I think overall, I think I would take the being the best team or one of the two best teams, I guess, for four straight years.
Okay.
I know. Yeah, it's a loser mentality, but these last place finishes are draining.
This is a hard
draining. A hard watch.
So you would rather be the Bills of the early 90s than like Washington who won a Super Bowl mixed in there. I know they didn't have three last place finishes around it, but
you could probably find a team. I'm trying to think who that would even be.
Right.
But yes, I think I might be. You have Thurman Thomas. You got the Kagan offense flying around.
That was fun.
Zubaz pants.
That was fun. The Zubaz.
Yeah, you're kicking ass.
I mean, you're not wrong about that. Frank Reich could put together a comeback here and there. That
sure
was fun.
Could.
You're not wrong. Okay. What's our last question, Billy?
Final question. Who's the second best player on the Bills offense?
You know who I think? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's James Cook, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
He gets slept on. Like, I don't think he gets brought up as one of the best running backs. Is he playing this weekend, did they say?
I doubt it. Well, I'm sorry. I don't think he'll play a substantial amount. I mean, I think the starters are probably going to play like a series or two.
He's
probably
19 yards shy of a 1,000-yard season. So
they'll get him that.
Maybe they'll get him that. But he's got 15 touchdowns. Like, I feel like every time I watch the Bills this year, he kind of jumps out to me. I always thought
that's
he
15
was,
rushing or 15 total?
15 rushing.
Okay.
He also got the Saquon treatment. Josh Allen snuck in, what,
that's
10
a good,
touchdowns?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He caught two.
So he has 17 touchdowns, and he missed the game.
He's a factor in the passing game for sure. I like James Cook quite a bit. I think he's their second best player on offense. Who else would it even be? Shakir? Amari Cooper's a good player. I feel
Keon
like he hasn't
Coleman?
Done much there. I like Coleman.
Coleman's decent.
Shakir's kind of their guy who makes it go. I don't know if he has like the best numbers.
Yeah.
But he's the guy who
Amari Cooper hasn't done anything.
No, not much.
No.
On a big third down, it's Shakir. On a drive starter, it's Shakir. It's
Dalton
him.
Kincaid's not bad.
Mm.
You don't like Dalton Kincaid? He's not bad.
I don't love him.
No.
I would say it's Shakir if it's not Cook, but I would say James Cook. I would take any of those. I would take every single name we just mentioned on the Patriots, by the way.
Wiggy chiming in saying a different sport, but were the Toronto Raptors similar? They won it the 1 year with Kawhi Leonard, and they probably sucked all around.
Wouldn't you rather be the Toronto Raptors with Kawhi with the 1 year? Yes. Yes, you would.
Then the Celtics would?
Wiggy, great answer.
All right. Maybe you're right.
He's got you there.
Maybe you're right.
Wiggy, not very fond of the movie
Nosferatu. No, he saw Nosferatu, which I was going to see in the theater, but he said, wait for it. So I will wait for it.
Okay.
Take his advice.
Yeah.
Nick, same?
Yeah, I was going to watch it. I don't think I'm going anymore.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
One of the big four horror buffs here at the station. Me, Nick, Wiggy, and Stiz.
I did hear
the Mount Rushmore of horror fans.
Quite a bit. I don't know, not to spoil anything.
Go ahead.
But I did hear quite a bit about some below the belt scenes.
Oh, yeah. Dracula male genitalia. Yeah.
I did.
I did
not to give anything away, but that's in there. To which I said,
change
all
your
right,
plans.
Why,
I'll see you tonight.
Why am I waiting until that comes out? Why am I waiting?
Movie in 3D?
Yeah, why?
Magnum Dong.
Got my glasses, my 3D glasses.
Why am I waiting for this
show
to stream?
Yeah.
I'd like to go see
we
this.
We should show outing.
Show outing.
And then
outing.
Monday, Drod Mayo gets fired. We lead the show with our Nosferatu review.
Or what do we call it? Nosferatu?
He called it something different
every
time.
The name is tricky, Nick, okay? The name's tricky.
He got it.
To the point where I don't even know the name anymore.
You knew what he was talking about.
The new Dracula movie.
Count Orlock.
So that's our Friday four-pack.
Very good.
Each and every Friday here on Jones and Keefe, part of our Patriots Friday. The Red Sox offseason has slowed down. I think that's fair to say.
To a halt.
If this is it, are you happy with the Red Sox offseason? If they're done, are you happy with what they've done to this point? We'll get to it next.
Logically, right now, if you had to guess, my guesses would be Bregman to Boston, Alonso back to the Mets, and Santander to Toronto. Toronto's going to get somebody eventually. But again, as we've seen with the Corbin Burns signing, surprises do happen, especially when guys linger on the market and you don't really know how it's going to turn out. Bregman to the Red Sox, to me, is a move that seems very logical. They need a right-handed bat. They've needed that since the, well, really since last season. And Bregman can play second base for them, or they can play him at third and move Devers over to first or DH him and have him in some combination with Cassis. But it seems that second base is the more logical destination for Bregman if he goes there.
Ken Rosenthal thinks that it's a logical connection. Alex Bregman and the Red Sox, good fit. Best guess, Keith, are the Red Sox landing Alex Bregman?
They are not.
Okay.
They're not going to land Alex Bregman.
I'm with you on that, too. I'll applaud them. I'm higher on Bregman than you are. I like what he represents, even more so than just like how he's been on the field. Winning player, guy who's come through in big spots. The Red Sox would be spending. I almost like more what he represents than what he actually brings on the field, but I also think there's a fit on the field. I'd play him at third and move Devers, but it sounds like if he comes here, he's going to be playing second base. Fine, I'd still take him.
Yeah.
Let's say they don't. I agree with you. I don't think they do.
Seems unlikely.
They're not going to get Alex Bregman. And it's Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. Quick thought here on the Red Sox. We'll get back to Jelani Tavai, his comments, Gerard Mayo, his future. Still scheduled to talk to Jeremy Springer because Alex Van Pelt was originally scheduled to be on the show, and now he's not going to be on, which tells me he's a goner, which I think we already knew.
Hey, what happened?
So we'll do all that coming up. But if the Red Sox are done, Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, who I'm not even sure you've really even had an opportunity to talk about yet.
No, I was off when that move happened.
Aroldis Chapman.
Stop.
Anything else? Are you happy with their offseason if this is it?
Happy seems a little strong.
Okay.
I think it's been a solid offseason for them. They didn't spend real money. Like, so there's still that part. If you want to be mad at the ownership for not, you know, how can you be in on Juan Soto, reportedly, for $700 million, but then you don't sign anybody else anywhere near that kind of money? That seems strange, and it's sort of confirming what my biggest fears were, is that they're not going to spend money like they used to. They're going to try to do it in other ways. They have this good farm system. They traded off one of the good pieces to get Garrett Crochet, which is a great trade. You and I are both happy about that.
Yeah.
He has the chance to be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, so you can't be upset about that. And they took a rotation last year that, for the most part, overachieved. Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford were way better than I thought they were going to be. And you weren't like, well, let's see what they do again next year. No, you went out and got two guys better than them. So I do like that. And they didn't really do anything to the lineup. Even a guy like Teoscar Hernandez, who I wouldn't have like thrown a parade for, would have been an upgrade. Don't get him. So
Santander is still out there. Everybody thinks he's going to go to the Blue Jays.
So, again, you don't need to win a million games to then win the World Series. You need to win like 86, 87 games, squeak into the playoffs, and go on a run. Just play meaningful baseball in September, and I'll feel pretty good about it.
That's all you need to do? Your goals should be higher, all you need to do in baseball. I agree with you on that.
I think they can do that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I'm really thrilled with the offseason, but they added two front-end starting pitchers, so, like, I think it's solid.
You said it right. I'm not happy with it. I expected more, but they're better.
Yeah.
So I'm frustrated they didn't spend real money. They still haven't spent money. Chapman's a one-year deal. Buehler's a one-year deal. Sandoval is effectively a one-year deal. Garrett Crochet is cheap, and he has 2 years left on his deal, and you better pay him now or he's going to be really expensive.
Oh, yeah, he is.
So they haven't spent real money, which frustrates me. And they haven't done enough. I'm not happy with it, but I will acknowledge they're better. Here's an example of that. Buster Olney today.
All right.
ESPN did their power rankings throughout Major League Baseball. They have the Red Sox eighth in all of baseball. I can give you the AL if you want in a second.
Eighth?
You could make a case, writes Buster Olney.
All right, we'll make a case.
The Red Sox are the most improved team of the winter with the addition of Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler at the front of the rotation. He calls Trevor Story a big X factor, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. The most improved team of the offseason, says Buster Olney.
Really?
That's what he said.
Huh.
They would be, by these rankings, the number three team in the AL, although also the number three team in the AL East. Yankees are third, Orioles are sixth. Everybody else is a National League team.
Hmm. Interesting.
Sounds high.
It does seem a little high. I was like, Sportsbook Rhode Island had the futures at 85.5 wins, which is 7 wins higher than last year's total, I think, like around this same time. But I kind of, like, I'm not going to take the under. It might be a no bet. Last year, the under felt pretty safe.
Yeah. You got it's one you probably sit out, but you got to lean one way or the other.
Yeah, I think I might take the over.
Okay. So, look, they're better. Yeah. I don't think they did enough. They're still not spending money, but I will acknowledge they're better. So, am I happy with it? No.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. If Buster Olney's even close to it, they're the most improved team this offseason. Probably says more about the state of baseball with a bunch of free agents still sitting out there. I don't expect them to get Bregman. If they do, I'd feel way better about their offseason. But that's where they're at. You guys can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Bregman, your thoughts on the Red Sox offseason. If they're done, are you happy with it? Was it enough? Again, we'll get to your feedback. And we'll get back to the baby, whiny Patriots players, starting with Jelani Tavai calling out the fans. That's next.